And now the end is near. Oh, hello, hello. Welcome to Conversations with Nova Reed. I am your host, and I cannot believe we have stormed through to the end of season two. Time flies when you're having fun. The end of season two also means that we are coinciding with a very special day, and one I am really, really privileged and honoured to be able to share with you, the official launch of my debut book, The Good Ally. And oh my goodness, I'm feeling all of this stuff today. Before I get into it, huge, huge thank you to each and every one of you who've tuned in this season, given me feedback about how the conversations with some of my, well, not some of my guests, all of my guests in this season have moved you, challenged you, resonated with you, provided like soothing comfort, all of the stuff. I've really loved delving deeper into season two and being able to share some extraordinary change makers and other humans who are engaging in anti-racism work with you, and can't thank you enough for dedicating time to tune in, and also my Patreons for helping support the costs of running this. So yeah, thank you for sharing this corner of the internet with me and this journey. You'll hear me you'll hear me doing that a lot today. I can't describe the feeling of getting a book out in the world. I can't describe it. No one really talks about this pre-book launch. I call it pre-book launch anxiety. And I have someone who's been living with anxiety for a long time. And I'm like, my gosh, this is extraordinarily intense. And it's this, I described it recently as this pendulum between nauseating anxiety and giddy excitement, like a six-year-old might have on the eve of their birthday, on the morning of their birthday, and also actually my wedding day to an extent. That was odd feelings. and just swinging like a pendulum back and forth. They're kind of two sides of the same coin, but the process of writing, it's such an intimate one where the words, the content, the direction, like you start from nothing. There's nothing on the page. And The Good Ally is 444 pages. If anyone's into numerology, tell me what 444 means. The Good Ally is 444 pages. So from nothing to 444 pages over, 3 years writing and however long before that, sowing seeds and researching, and you're with the content in such an intimate way on your own for so long, or just with, you know, your literary agent looking at it, or your publisher, and the way they're looking at it is with a critical eye to obviously get it in the best shape that it can be. And then suddenly it's not yours anymore. It's everybody else's. You're like, it's like you're putting a piece of your heart out into the world for people to stamp on, for people to grab with tenderness, for people to love, for people to loathe, for people to critique, like everything. There is just no control. Like the content is there for all and sundry. And when I first started writing The Good Ally, it was more of a business book, and it really evolved in a way that was more meaningful to me to speak to the individual, to speak to the individual change maker, much like yourself. And there's just been so many iterations of it. And to when I first started it as more of a business book, it was very practical, and there wasn't much of me in it at all. And when I evolved to writing it to be more for the individual change maker, like I was like, I just cannot. And certainly my students on my anti-racism course, Becoming Anti-Racist, will attest to this, because throughout that course, which is mostly video content, it's a mixture of multimedia to be fair, but they're directed by me via video. Like, I can't teach anti-racism with any kind of integrity without talking about my own experiences of racism that I've internalized and how I am navigating that and how I am, you know, and how anti-blackness shows up in me as a black woman. And so in writing The Good Ally, there's stories in there about my own suffering, my own exposure to racism, my own trauma, and, you know, my own imperfections. And that's really, it's exposing. I feel very exposed. But I trust that the words that I have written are the words that need to be on the page. And I'm, you know, underneath the trepidation, I'm really excited to see the work that it does in the world, because what my, you know, one of the reasons I've been able to write The Good Ally is because I had already curated an online anti-racism course, which people have been buying since the end of 2018. And I was able to really gather important insights from students going through that process, you know, what was happening and the real difficult parts and how to just expand on that for the book. And because I've got Becoming Anti-Racist with Nova Reid, the online course, and seeing the students go through that, I am also aware of the capacity for transformation that is possible, and that really, really excites me. And as you can tell, it moves me, because this work is no easy feat. You will know that by now if you're at this point of the podcast and this isn't the first episode you're listening to. You will know that by now. You would have heard it from the guests I've interviewed. You would have heard about, you know, some of their experiences of racism and, you know, how that's impacted their well-being hugely. You know, some of my guests were speaking about suicidal ideation and right through to how they've overcome that. But you hear the impact of social suffering. You hear the impact of racism and trauma. And so it can feel overwhelming, and it can feel, especially when there's so much social injustice going on in the world and human beings continue to act like assholes to one another, it can feel like, wow, we're not going to make a dent in this, but we can. And I've seen it. It just takes people having the courage, desire to start. And it is possible. So yeah, that explains the overwhelm, because I've seen it and my students role model it, the ones who really lean into this work and don't whiz through it and come back to it again and again and unpeel layers and can receive feedback on their racism, will know that just by doing this work doesn't necessarily mean they won't do or say something racist again. They accept that they're going to do something racist, because that's what they've learned, and that this is a process of a learning that they'll probably do for the rest of their lives. But how they show up and agitate in families, in the workplace, in their relationships, how they intentionally care for and think about how they raise their children, how they agitate in healthcare, at schools, my God, some of the students, what they're doing in schools and the reach that they're having from simply engaging in this work and calling other people in on the journey is just phenomenal. So I'm excited to see what can happen when you start interacting with the words and leaning in with courage and vulnerability like I had to write it. And yeah, so Good Ally launches on the 16th today. Well, it depends when you listen to it. 16th of September. And I'm a bag of hot nerves. And I'm kind of surrendering to that. It really is no easy feat. There were times during the writing process where I wanted to give up. So many times where I felt I didn't feel good enough. So many times where the words I wrote on the page were just crap. I'm going to name her. I think it was Frankie that said, just allow the first draft or the first words you put on the page to be crap and stop judging. So there was some feedback I got that was really useful, because it's, you know, you write a chapter and then you rewrite it and then it's not right. And there was one point towards the end of my journey where the book was finished. And I was going through something that is referred to as institutional betrayal or institutionalized trauma. And that often happens a lot in the workplace, where you bring an incident of racism, you raise it to attention to authorities or to people who are supposed to, who have a responsibility for your well-being in some way, in an official capacity. And instead of supporting you to address that issue of racism, more racism is perpetuated by them. And so I'd just gone through this whole institutional trauma, and it was really painful. But what it did was make me rewrite the entire chapter for racism at work. And so it's that. It's and I don't think any author that says that they're 100% happy with their work, I think, is not entirely telling the truth. I'm sure my editors at HarperCollins, I'm sure I was winding them up towards the end, because there's a whole process where you write the whole book, and then you go through it in intricate detail with your editor, who helps you. You know, if something's not quite explained or they think you can expand on it, they'll give you some pointers there or make some recommendations. And just get you to open. I will say, you know what, that is quite, that's quite assumed, Nova. Can you dissect that a bit and things like that? So that's quite an intense period. And then once you've gone through the round with your editor, I can't remember how many rounds we had, maybe two, we didn't have much time. It then is all about, right, let's find the typos and, you know, do something called typesetting, which is what you see in the book, where it's all laid out on the page and looks more like a book rather than a Word document. And during that process, they're like, no big edits, you know, just the word here or there. And as they're sending it back to me, I'm like, can we just check? I know I can't do a big edit, but could you just tweak that sentence just a bit? And can we just tweak that there? And I want to replace that. I was a nightmare for them. But every time I got the book back in my hands to go through some kind of edit or proofread, there was always something I wanted to change. So I'm not looking at the book anymore, because there will always be things in there. But I am proud of it, and I really hope that you get what you need from it. I thought I would just delight you in doing a very, very short reading with you, because you're my people. Let me see, what can I read? It's 444 pages to choose from. Okay, let me read a little bit. And this is from the introduction. Racism is built on so many lies that in order for us to be anti-racist, we absolutely have to start being honest with ourselves and one another. That means choosing to take responsibility for our own complicity. For centuries, we have been taught to uphold and maintain destructive systems of oppression as the norm, without question. We've been conditioned to go along with that powerful undercurrent because it's easier than swimming in the opposite direction, or worse still, drowning. Fear, no doubt, has also been a powerful driving force, because you have learned to center your own feelings ahead of speaking up on issues that matter, and perhaps not even noticing the injustice to begin with. You've learned to prioritize your comfort over courage. I mean, would you say you've struggled to be a, inverted commas, good ally in the past or even now through fear of causing offence, saying the wrong thing, or not feeling like it's your place to say anything? When this happens, it subconsciously means you place your fear of causing offence as being more important than helping. Anti-racism work is about unlearning discrimination that has been normalised, consciously and continuously disrupting the status quo in society, in work, in others, and ultimately in yourself. That will feel uncomfortable. It may even feel discombobulating. You are going to feel guilt and most probably shame. So when it feels tough, when you want to stop or skip to the easy bit, that is when I want you to slow it down and lean in a little closer and lean into the truth about what is making you want to disengage. To commit to doing the work properly and not undermining the process or the labor that has gone into creating this resource for you. We're going to go on a journey and I will be right here with you. You'll want to laugh, curl your toes, cry, shout and scream. You'll feel joy, at times despair, but beyond that, I promise you, is hope. Snippet. And if you're like me and enjoy listening over reading, I did do my own reading for the audiobook, which is also available from today from Audible. And I hope you enjoy leaning in and getting uncomfortable and being vulnerable with me, because on the other side of that is seismic change. And that really, really excites me. And I'm glad to have you here. So there's a whole thing with recording your own audiobook. My husband, much like me, is an audio learner. I'm very slow at processing. I have a very slow processing speed with reading, and I am much more proficient at listening. So most of the books I consume are via Audible, and same for my husband. And we have this thing where we really struggle to engage with listening to authors' books when it's someone else. It's like someone else's voice, like or one that sounds robotic. Like it doesn't sound right. I'm very particular about what things sound like. But I do read my own book for the audiobook as well. And that and it's like that's a job in itself. Like I can understand why some authors don't read their own book. Obviously, depending on their own learning differences. I can imagine if somebody had extreme dyslexia, it just wouldn't be possible. There's just too much to read. And you have to, like at the moment I'm fumbling over words, which is fine. It's the kind of nature of a podcast, but with the book, it has to be pristine. And so you have to go over sentences over and over again. And in The Good Ally, I'm taking you through a journey, not only to learn how to self-interrogate and to withstand the discomfort that comes from self-interrogation and self-inquiry, but walking through present day examples of racism and how you can start to develop more discernment around recognizing the more subtle forms and what to do about it, but also taking us back through history and really shining a spotlight on our history that has been hidden or erased and that has contributed to where we are today. And that means going into detail, no surprises to you from listening to this podcast, I go into detail about some of the historical violence. So researching and writing about the historical violence is very different to sitting down in a room on your own and reading it. Writing about your own feelings of unworthiness and how you had internalized racism and or how I had internalized racism and what I am doing to overcome that and heal from that, and the unbearable feelings of unworthiness that come up. Writing about that is very different to reading that out loud. And my audio editor, Emma Butt, she's amazing, giving her a shout out. She's anti-racist, which just helps enormously. And she's a woman of color and she advocates for this stuff in her day job. And she's also, you know, aside from that, she's just a caring, loving human being, and her patience and tenderness around a period, and also I had some of my anti-racism students right there with me. Their patience and tenderness and care and sensitivity during that period was really quite beautiful. But it was really difficult. I had to do several takes. I found it unbearable. At one point I walked out of the room and I was like, whoa, there's a whole thing. that goes with reading these words out loud. So I go on a journey and there's no way in hell you can't go on one as well. And I really look forward to hearing how the work impacts you. So there's just a few things, a few favours to ask, if I may. This is a really crucial time. So if you listen to this on the 16th of September, the next few days up until, just counting, until Saturday the 18th are really, really crucial, because pre-sales in this early first week or early first few days of initial sales help really define an author's success, and particularly black authors. It can, unfortunately, until we've started to better tackle systemic racism in publishing, it can also have a ramification and an impact on black authors who follow. They'll be like, oh, well, that book didn't do well, so we're not going to give you a deal, or we're not going to share your story. So it has unfortunate ramifications, but it is vital. It gives the publisher confidence in how many books they need to make available to sell, whether the book will be available in other territories outside of the UK. It will be available in the US from summer 2020 as hardback, and is available today as audio for everyone across the globe. But it determines their confidence in the book, and most importantly, it determines whether booksellers want to sell it or not. So yeah, no pressure, but there are some things that you can do to help. And I would, you know, be in deep gratitude if you have time and are willing and able. So one of them is obviously to buy a copy of The Good Ally, either for yourself or friends or family. You know, perhaps purchase one now if you have the means, and keep it aside for a Christmas or holiday season present. And you can do that via your favourite online retailer. Read the book, or listen to the book for free on Audible. Just listening to it helps show people whether it is something that is help show people, help show algorithms and the powers that be, whether it's something worthy of investing in or not. So buy it. Buy it for someone else. Ask your library if they can stock it if you're unable to buy. All of these things can really help, as well as just simply listening to it on Audible. So that's tip two. Tip three, if you're on Goodreads, a little birdie tells me to add it to your reading list on Goodreads. If you are one of the gorgeous humans who have already purchased The Good Ally and it has arrived on your doorstep, please, 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 and this is for me more than anyone, take pictures if you're on social media, share it so your friends can see it, tag me so I can see it, and just, yeah, get images out there and just use the hashtag The Good Ally. And you know, if you're already interacting with the content, like, I'd love to hear how it's impacting you, so please, yeah, keep doing that throughout, but really important with today in the next few days. And then, of course, reviews hold a lot of power, disproportionately so. But please hop on over if it's resonating with you, leave a positive review over on Goodreads or Amazon. They're really, really powerful. And then follow me on Instagram. Share, tag me, Nova Read Official. Use the hashtag The Good Ally. Put it on Facebook, wherever you are on social media. I would really appreciate you just sharing the love, and I just genuinely would love to see you with images of the book in your hands. So I think that's it. The Good Ally, A Guided Anti-Racism Journey from Bystander to Changemaker, is out now. Grab your copy, share away. Thank you for sharing this corner of the internet with me. Continue to lean into this work with full gusto so we can all show up in the world as better human beings and citizens to one another, and believe that change is possible. Grab your copy of The Good Ally. Of course, Becoming Anti-Racist, the online course, is there for those who want to lean in with full gusto. But thank you so much for keeping me company in season two. Thank you massively to every single guest who has given me their time time is so precious. And to everybody who supported the podcast, from Patreons to editing, and yeah, I appreciate you all. Here's to making change in the world. Until next time, much love to you. Take care of yourself. See you soon.